Welcome back to Spirit Squared. I'm Andrew Darrington, your host. Tonight, we come to you from Lindale, Texas. This is Brisket Love Barbecue. Thanks so much, Craig Wood, for letting us be here and do our podcast tonight. Real quick, before we introduce our guest, I've got our sponsors that I want to recognize. We've got Vault Arms, Humidor, Houdini's, Hoot & Holler Beverage down in Gun Barrel City. We have Red Contracting, Rex Consulting, Stanley's Barbecue, which, you know, hey, look, they're neck and neck, I think. They're very close.
They are.
Yeah, they have their strengths. Both sides have their strengths, right. So don't fight over it. Just love it.
That's right.
And we've got Truevine Brewery, and then we've got Goosehead Insurance. Raymond Plunkett, who's a local here, offers great insurance rates, so check him out. Without further ado, we've got the mayor of Lindale tonight, Gavin Rasko.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely.
You really appreciate it. Yeah. I'm super happy belated birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, you just had a birthday.
I did.
A couple weeks ago, so yes. 1 year older.
I don't know about wiser, but definitely 1 year older.
Right?
Yeah.
So, it was so interesting doing some research on this one. I'm looking forward to digging into like your role and the city of Lindale and all that good stuff.
Sure.
Personally, I've been here for 13 years. You've been here for longer.
I have.
Yeah. Did you grow up here?
Yes. So, I mean, it's a little bit of the city history, right? So I grew up in Hideaway.
Okay.
When it was part of Lindale.
Okay.
When they went through all their incorporation, right? So now Hideaway is its own city. Right. So a bit of a story there. But yeah, grew up out of Hideaway, went to school, graduated from Lindale, went to TJC for a couple of years. Then I went over to UT Tyler. Spent a few years there, got my undergrad in marketing, then I kept going, got my master's in business administration, and I thought I was going to leave Lindale, but you know what? This is not a bad place to be, so we're still here.
What was Lindale like when you were growing up?
Man, it was a lot smaller for sure, right? I mean, my wife's at the high school now, so you know, seeing the class sizes of today compared to, I think we graduated with $140 maybe,
right?
$50. I'm not quite sure, but it was at TJC, right? That's where we did our graduation. And now I think there are 4,000 ish kids,
right?
Campus wide,
which is
45
wild,
which is crazy. But yeah, I mean, it was much smaller back then, and I hear a lot of comments from the old school Lindale folks about, hey, you remember when Lindale used to be?
Right.
But yeah, I remember when we had Dairy Queen and Juanita's and one stoplight.
Right. People still talk about Juanita's.
Oh, yeah. Which is still exists over at the Raceway.
Yeah.
Right? You can go see Mo there and get some tacos. But it is a little bit different, for sure. There was a lot more green space.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah. So you go to TJC, You major in marketing.
I did.
Which is not connected to what you're doing now.
It is not. No, it is not. And you know, politics was not anywhere on my radar, right? I mean, you hear about stuff. But marketing, I had, interestingly enough, I went to TJC for engineering.
Okay.
And I was in my final semester, and I was like, to heck with this, I'm going to switch to business. And so I did all of my math classes, everything, through engineering, then switched over to marketing when I went over to UT.
Okay.
At the time, I was at Southside Bank, right? And so they were really pushing towards a finance
degree. Banker.
Yep. They were like, hey, finance. But I was, I really enjoyed, and I hear it's kind of unique to have the analytical mindset alongside the creative. So running these marketing campaigns where I got to be creative with at that time, direct mail was a really big thing, right? All the stuff that you got in the mailbox. Email was, you know, not quite what it is today. And we still faxed a lot.
Right.
So I could get creative, but then I'd want to measure all of the stuff that came back, all the responses. And so that's kind of what led me down the marketing path. And then I knew kind of based on where I wanted to go in life at that time, right, a master's would benefit me. And if I took too long off, then I wasn't going to go back.
Right.
Right. So I just kind of rolled them all into one big educational adventure.
Yeah.
And it worked out. But
yeah.
Politics was definitely, I mean, it wasn't Stuco. I didn't do anything political or school either.
Right.
So it was definitely a new adventure for me once I got into this.
So at what point do you meet your wife in this process and get married? So you have three daughters.
I do have three girls.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I met my wife, I guess we met in like fourth grade.
Oh, wow.
But we did not start dating until my sophomore year.
Okay.
Or in between our sophomore and junior year. And so we were high school sweethearts.
Okay, awesome.
It's
great.
Prom king, queen, kind of the whole, what you know, the whole
fairy tale.
Or yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And I say whatever, but she is amazing. Yeah. She is fantastic. She's been in Lindale her whole life.
Okay.
And so, so we dated all through high school, all through college. And then kind of the plan was once we graduate college, then we go ahead and get married. And so we graduated in May, got married in June.
Yeah. Oh, you got it.
So, yeah. I mean, well, we were dating, right? Yeah. So, I mean, the whole thing was planned for quite some time, but the story on how it all came to be, I mean, it was, again, she's awesome. We were actually, I proposed in London.
Oh, wow.
Interestingly enough, we were chaperoning a trip.
Okay.
And kind of set everything up. My sister went with us so that she could video and capture the moment.
Yeah.
And I brought a fake ring to propose because I proposed not by Big Ben or Royal the bridge that I proposed on is called the Royal Victoria Bridge.
Okay.
And it's elevated. So, it is sunset. I mean, like you said, all the fairy tale stuff, it worked out really well. But anyway, I had this fake ring and because I didn't want to travel. I mean, I'm a broke college kid. I still don't
travel.
Yes.
The real thing.
Exactly. And so we land when we get to Dallas and my parents and her parents meet us there. I get the real ring and I was like, hey, this is the actual proposal. So I kind of proposed again at the airport.
Well, that's cool.
With the real wing, real ring.
Ring, yeah.
But yeah, so we've been together. We joke, you know, more than half our lives at Dawson together.
All the rest
to come. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. That's amazing, man. All right. So how do you get affiliated with First Tee?
First Tee?
Which I had on previously. One of my favorite programs is I'm a golfer myself.
Yes.
Tried to make it pro.
Okay.
It wasn't talented enough.
Okay.
Because you got to be special
to get there. You got to be pretty salty.
Yep. And I could hit the ball a long ways. I just couldn't chip and putt.
Yes.
Well, that, you got to do all.
You do.
So how do you get involved in First Tee?
So golf has always been a really big part of my life too, right? So growing up at Hideaway, I played golf all the time.
For sure.
The high school team. At that time, kind of going into college, it was a decision of did I want to play in college or I had a pretty good job. I was the auditor for Southside Bank. So that's a pretty good gig for a college kid and I didn't want to jeopardize that. And I had a bunch of scholarships from an educational standpoint. So it was just, okay, let's focus on education, focus on the job and golf when you can.
Yeah.
And so I played a lot of golf. I competed in long drive for a few years. Yeah. It was a good time.
Cool, man.
But all that came to be as a result of the guys that started the First Tee originally, Christian Saran, Michael Harrison, Walter Wilhelmy, they're kind of part of the core founding group. And I grew up playing golf with Christian, who was the first executive director. He was the program director at that time. And so I was working at Mentoring Minds. They reached out to the Lujan and said, hey, we're starting this board. We want you guys on it. And they're like, I'm not really a golfer, but I know a guy. And so anyways, that's how I kind of got on the board, was treasurer, president. And then Michael was focused on his growing his business. Mm. And so the position for executive director came open. I was like, I think I want to do that. And so I became the executive director, worked with Christian, put again a lot of things in motion from a marketing perspective, and it was an incredible run.
Yeah.
And I know one of the things that we'd always not struggle with, but the First Tee as a whole always wanted to share is it's not a golf program, right?
No, yeah.
It is a youth development program.
No doubt.
That uses golf as its catalyst. Because you think about all the stuff that you see on the golf course where guys call penalties on themselves.
Yeah.
And the integrity of the game.
Yeah, hitting the flag for someone.
Yes, absolutely. You know. The confidence, all the core nine core values that the First Tee represents. And so that was really what the First Tee, we wanted to drive those core values home and really emphasize the core values, not necessarily golf. And so my time at the First Tee was awesome. Still spend time on the advisory board. It introduced me to a lot of other organizations like the Ben Hogan Foundation out of Fort Worth.
Yeah.
Still do work with them. Got to go to Fort Hood, or I guess it's now Fort Cavazzo, maybe? Or I think it just had a recent name change.
Really? I didn't know that. Huh.
but got to go spend time with soldiers there and host a tournament and just tell them thanks for serving. And so the first tee was a great chapter, and it still is a big part of my life.
Yeah, I love talking to those guys. They the one story they told that hit me the hardest was they had a kid that that begged them to pick him up from school because both the parents were drug addicts and they wanted to get home when they were passed out or when they were ready, like when they were done, you know, kind of like, and so he would pick up balls. He would, you know, want to just kind of stay out there as late as he could. And they only had to correct him like once or twice because he had such a passion to be out there. And towards the end of the program, he was one of the folks that was mentoring the younger group.
Yes.
And that's what you want.
Absolutely. It's so cool to have those kids stick around and reinstill what they've learned over the years. And now the first two have been around long enough so that we've got kids that are in college.
Right.
That have gone through the program in its entirety. Yeah. And
the guys that are running this local chapter, I think they went through it as well, didn't they?
They did.
I can't remember their names off the head.
So we've got a few guys.
I'm not putting you on the spot, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, Logan Long does
it. Praise Tom. Yeah, Logan.
He's running things now. He's got a few guys with him over there. Yeah. Billy Storage is on the board.
Yeah. Billy is too.
And he helps, I think, with a lot of the events. So they've got a great group right now that are still, you know, driving this thing forward. And they've expanded to Jacksonville.
Right.
And so there's hundreds of kids in East Texas that, one, now have access to the game, right? Because you hear a lot about that as a golfer, is just the expenses associated with the sport,
right?
The availability of courses. And so they're really just bringing kids and people to the game that otherwise wouldn't have access to it. And then teaching them all these valuable life lessons along the way.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's one of my favorite local nonprofits for sure. So 2022 comes around and somebody pushes you in the back and says, hey, you should run for city council.
Yeah.
How does that come to pass?
Yeah. You know, it's
like, hold on, I do marketing.
Yes. And it was, you know, when at that point I had been, so I had my marketing degree and I worked for a company called Mentoring Minds.
Right.
And was doing marketing.
At least you made it through COVID.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly. And unscathed, right? And so I had started my own business. So I've been running my own business for, at that time, probably about 10 years. And like any good story, right? We're sitting around a campfire drinking beer. And at that point, you know, everybody can complain about something.
Yeah.
And I'll complain, but I'm also going to do something about it. I don't like to be idle. And so we're sitting around talking about, you know, hey, what's going on here? What's this got going on? And it came down to like, you know what, I'm going to run for council, right? That's the only way that we could truly find out what's going on. And if we want our voices to be heard, that's what we got to do. At that time in 2022, there was some noise around just the parks themselves, right? When I was in Lindale, like we talked about the population, the number of kids was not, there wasn't a whole lot of us.
Right.
Especially out of Hideaway, but now we've got this influx of folks that have moved in.
Right.
And our parks hadn't really kept up. And so there was questions about the parks and how do we get all of these kids more involved at the park and so on and so forth. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to run for council because that's one, how I'm going to find out the information, and two, how I can help become more involved and disseminate that information. And so
maybe make it more transparent too.
Exactly.
You know, hey, look, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. It's y'all's tax dollars. We're not hiding anything. Right.
Right.
And transparency was a big buzzword at that time.
Sure.
And so, so it started just around a campfire and then elections came up and I said, you know what, I'm going to run.
Yeah.
And so I got on council.
Yeah.
And I was there for a number of years. And as you get into council, or sorry, let's just say local politics.
Yeah.
Right, you start to learn, I'll say local politics is very different than, you know, as you go up the rung, the federal, state, federal, so on and so forth.
Sure, sure.
And so there was a
lot. And no lobbyists lining the.
No. Being on, these are no PACs, none of that stuff.
Right.
And so, you know, at the local level, it was really just about communication.
Yeah.
Right?
And a lot about procedure too. I mean, things that I read on like the releases and things like that, which is awesome that it's that transparent.
Looking for your next favorite hangout in East Texas? Come experience True Vine Brewing Company, Tyler's original craft brewery. Since 2014, True Vine has been serving up award-winning beers with a laid-back, community-focused vibe. Whether you're sipping on a seasonal IPA or enjoying one of their signature brews, you'll feel right at home. With two awesome locations, the spacious Earl Campbell Parkway Tap Room and the cozy downtown square spot, there's always something going on. Live music, food trucks, and even spots for your kids and your dogs. True Vine Brewing Company, more than a brewery, it's a place to connect, unwind, and taste something truly local. Come see what's on tap at truevinebrewing.com. That's truevinebrewing.com.
Are you looking to optimize your drilling rig operations and maximize productivity? Look no further. Rex Consulting is here to power your drilling. With over 20 years of industry experience, our expert team provides tailored solutions that drive efficiency, safety, and profitability. From site assessments to cutting-edge technology integration, Rex Consulting is your trusted partner for land-based and offshore oil and gas drilling solutions. Ready to take your rig to the next level? Contact Rex Consulting today and send your operations to the next level in operational performance. Contact Josh Simmons at 918-637-9181. Rex Consulting, level up.
The Humidor is your online cigar retailing headquarters. Our experienced staff has spent years finding some of the best cigars from around the world to sell to our customers. If you're looking for an online cigar store that can help you find your next favorite smoke, welcome to the Humidor. We began the Humidor because of our deep appreciation of the finer things in life, a good conversation with friends, an aged whiskey, and, of course, a fine smoke. That's why, in addition to selling premium cigars online, we also operate a brick-and-mortar cigar lounge in Tyler, Texas. Our lounge is crafted to provide a classic ambience with modern sensibilities, and we've spent time ensuring that smokers and non-smokers have an enjoyable experience, whether they're there for a drink with friends or to enjoy the game.
It's a lot of procedural stuff.
It is.
You know, hey, look, this plot of land wants to change from this type of plot to a different type of plot. And so then, let's vote, or hey, let's, put it on a docket or whatever it may be, right?
Yeah, you kind of hear all those jokes, and for all the TxDOT people that are listening, I apologize, but you hear the speed at which TxDOT operates, right? And we'll take TxDOT out on course and just say the government in general, right?
Right.
And so I go into this thing hearing, hey, you know, government does not work how the private sector works. And I'm like, no, this is Lindell. We make some stuff happen.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't. Unfortunately, that has probably been the biggest learning curve on council, on even as mayor, right, is that there is a lot of governmental red tape and just procedural stuff to go through in order to move this from here to there.
Right.
And so that was, that's what really benefited me the most on council, is learning all of the
but
process.
Doesn't some things motivate it to move faster, depending on maybe who's presenting the
Potentially.
Or if there's, you know, money involved, or if it's a big project that's going to benefit the area significantly?
I would say if there's more money involved, it actually goes a little bit slower, right?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Because a lot of what we've got to do then, which we'll talk about this as an example later, like our tax rates, right?
Yeah.
We've got to have public hearings and give people the chance to to comment.
Yeah.
So there's a couple, three meetings that have to happen in order for the council to even be voting on something to move it forward.
Yeah.
And then even after that, it might not go into effect until, right, the next quarter or next calendar year or something like that. And so smaller stuff, it does happen pretty quickly, right? So there's a variety of boards, and I'll talk about that later, that you can get involved with, but those boards handle the things. The discussions come to them, they make their recommendations because that's supposed to be their focus. Like planning and zoning, for example.
Right.
They'll go through, they know all the planning and zoning rules and regulations, and so the topic will come to them. They hear it, and then they have a series of conversations with the developer, let's say.
Yeah.
And then once it passes P&Z, then it comes before the council and it's presented as, hey, the P&Z has done their diligence. Do you guys have any questions? At that point, the council can then say yes or no, or we want to table this, have some more discussion, which then we get into whole some other stuff. But that's kind of how the process would go if you were coming in and wanting to develop a piece of property, as an example.
Right, I got all that.
Because
it's first and third, right? Or first and third Tuesday.
The first and third Tuesday of every month.
And I saw where there was a development that was happening. It was down 849 in that area. And so the developer presented, hey, this is the type of property I want to develop. And then, you know, and then you guys, P&Z, I'm assuming,
yes,
takes that, makes a recommendation, then you guys table it or...
Yeah, vote on it. And it does depend on, there's also state timelines that come into play too, right? So I mentioned the tax rate. So there's a number of days that have to be posted, and then a number of days that once we post a public hearing, like a lot of these zoning conversations, we can have the public hearing, and then right after it, if there's no comments, we can approve it, or the council can approve it. I say we. But like the tax rate and, you know, stuff like that, we've got to have a public hearing and then it's got to wait 30 days.
Right.
And then it's got to be, you know, comments are opened. We got to wait another 30 days. And then 60 days later, the council can finally vote on it. You know, as an example, those timelines are a little
painstaking process.
But it is a painstaking process, especially when
we're talking about a lot of it's, you know, infrastructure changes.
It is.
And, you know, I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing to get things right the first time. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's plenty of decisions.
Doing your duty. This one, it's going to be $1 million or so.
Right? Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Several million.
Not only for the city, but also for the developer, so they understand, you know, that everything's going to be okay.
Yes.
Once they've done it.
Yep.
Dang, that fly. Anyway, okay, so. You run for city council 2022.
Yep. A couple of years on city council. 2024 rolled around.
The same nudge happens.
It does.
And like, what was there nobody that wanted to step forward?
But not really.
Was there discussion amongst the city council like, hey,
yeah, we're gonna step forward? Like with all of these positions, right? And shout out to the council that I have now and anyone that's ever served in this position, right? It's all volunteer elected positions.
Yeah.
Right? So the council, myself, we don't get paid anything for this.
Wow. Okay.
That is all our second job.
Okay.
Right? So I still have my 9-to-5.
Okay.
And then I'm a mayor on top of that.
Do you run a business now?
I do. I start my own consulting business.
Okay.
NetSuite. If any of you guys have NetSuite issues, let me know.
Okay.
But
you do that,
yes.
And then this is volunteer elected.
Yes.
A mayor position. I did not know that.
Yes. And so depending on the size of the city, right, obviously like Dallas or Austin or these big cities, the mayor will be paid, but it's dependent upon the size of the city. There's a lot of state regulations that go into it. But for us, right, it's volunteer elected, so no pay.
Yeah.
We get reimbursed if we have to travel for a city event,
yeah,
but that's the extent of the any
kind of net zero.
A net zero,
yeah,
yeah. So like, so we're doing it for the love of Lindale. Wow, yes.
Okay.
So yeah.
So what were some of the things that motivated you to run? I mean, you were unopposed, which is nice.
But you
didn't have to. There was no know where you're debating.
Yes.
Or, and you could have been debating against someone that was currently on your council, which is nice. There's no drawing differences or anything like that. But what motivated you to run?
Yeah. So with council and the mayor, you have term limits.
Yeah.
Right. So I wish they'd get those at the congressional level, but whatever.
Agreed.
So you can serve three consecutive three-year terms.
Oh, wow. So 9 years.
So 9 years in total.
Oh, that's a long time.
So the previous mayor was coming up at the end of his term.
Okay.
And he mentioned, hey, I know, and probably midway through my term, I'm like, you know what? I might want to be mayor one day. I like where this is going. I like the involvement that I have in the community. And so I kind of floated that to the mayor at that time and said, hey, you know, when the time comes, I think I do want to run for mayor. And although it's not on my immediate radar. And so he approached me and said, hey, you've done some great work on council. I'm going to term out. I think you should put your hat in the ring. And so
what do you think some of the things that you did well, or what do you think he meant? Like, what are some of the things that you did well on councils?
I ask a lot of questions.
Okay.
And I would hope, and my council now, right, they're not yes men by any yes people.
Yeah.
Want to be whatever.
Men or women.
Yep. Yeah. And so I ask a lot of questions, right? And I want to know what's going on. And then I'm big on accountability.
Yeah.
And so if you say something's going to happen by X date, I want it to happen by X date. And then if not, let's figure out why. Mm-hmm. Right. So part of my time as.
That's part of your private sector.
Yes.
Coming into the.
All the private sector stuff that I do on my day to day carried over.
Sure.
Quite nicely to the mayor. Excuse me.
Well, some would say yes. Some would say no.
Yes.
You know, yeah. It just depends on.
Correct.
Where you're leaning and some of your positions.
Sure.
You know, what's important to you.
Yeah. Right? But being a good, so like as my consulting business, right, my goal is to be an extension of whatever business I'm representing. Mm-hmm. And so part of that is being a good financial steward. And so coming into this thing, and even when I got on council was, man, we got all these people, right? I didn't know what all these people meant paying taxes. I want to know what these tax dollars are going to. Mm-hmm. And are we being good financial stewards? So really, you know, placing an emphasis on the communication, right? Kind of going back to my marketing roots. And then being good financial steward of all this tax dollars that came in. And so we had conversations around that. You know, the fact that I've worked well with the manager and the police chief and the council and just gotten to, you know, we've been in Lindale for a long time, so we knew a lot of people, involvement in the community. And it was a lot of, once I kind of mentioned it and floated out there, he was like, man, this is great. The city staff was like, hey, I think you should do it too. And so I got a lot of just support from
some momentum
behind me.
Yeah.
And the fact then that it was unopposed was great.
Yeah.
I didn't have to, you know, campaign budget was just kind of whatever, right? I still had signs.
But it takes a couple people out to dinner.
Yeah, I wanted people to know who I was.
Sure.
Right, see my name out there because, you know, even on the ballot, even though you're unopposed, you still have to get voted for.
Correct.
And so we always joke with my friends that, I still could have not been elected, right? If no one would have voted, or they could have been a write-in, and I still could have not been elected. But
right.
It was certainly nice being unopposed. It made for a pretty uneventful election night,
right.
Election day.
Yeah.
But that's what, that nudge of, hey, I think you could really, you know, keep this momentum going, one, from the projects that we started on council.
Yeah.
But then two, what you want to see happen and where Lindale is growing, I think you could carry that torch along the way. And so, talking it over with my wife, you know, you mentioned my
girl. I'm going to have to run your Facebook.
She's like, are you kidding me? She's like, oh man. And so, but really the decision came down to my girls.
Okay.
Because I had a lot of concern because kids can be pretty ruthless.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. And we'll talk about projects here in a minute.
More and more.
Highway 16, right? Still under construction. They could be like, guy, your dad, the mayor, sucks.
Yeah.
Right? And I didn't want them to just be deflated all the time.
Right.
And so we had a lot of conversations around, hey, if I do this, just know that people could potentially badmouth the mayor. Yeah. And you just let it go.
They might not even know who it is.
Correct. Yeah. And it might not even be my problem. Right. But they just,
yeah.
They want to cast it somewhere and sure. Just, you know, it is what it is. So we had that conversation with the girls and they were like, Dad, we think you should do it. And so, you know, once I got their support, then
yeah.
We made it happen.
Yeah. What was day one like? Like, so I know it's not a presidential position or anything, yeah. Like it's not congressional or anything like that. But so you had a lot of, you had a lot of meetings with the outgoing mayor. So you kind of had an idea of like what that responsibility looked like. So there was the transition hard or was it fairly easy or because there were a lot of initiatives that you were like maybe wanted to steward
yes.
After the administration transition, right?
Yes.
So how was that like transition? Was it, you knew that it was going to take some time to get some things done.
Yeah.
But you wanted to kind of maybe put the boot on the ground and let everybody know, hey, look.
Yes.
We're gonna make an adjustment.
Sure. I think the transition of continuing the policies, let's call it, was pretty seamless. However, like learning what a mayor does day to day, I didn't really have a whole lot, right? Because I'd seen the previous mayor in council. Because one of the things that you learn as you sit on council and all these other boards is the idea of a quorum. And conducting illegal meetings or conducting a walking quorum. And so I was always nervous. I'm like, I don't want anything to happen, right? So I kind of stayed in my lane so that we didn't conduct all these illegal meetings.
You're playing more defense than offense, right?
So other than knowing what he did at council, in the council meetings, you know, I'm taking my notes to say, okay, I'll lead the agenda and I get to, you know, do this, that, or the other. That's kind of the extent of what I knew that a mayor did. And then as I, once I was elected on day one, so each city has a different hierarchy structure to city government, right? So for the city of Lindale and the way that our structure exists, we have a city manager and she happens to report to me and the council. And so they really drive, they being the council.
That's their full-time job. They're
that is her
volunteer.
Full-time. No, she's a paid employee, right? So
fair.
Team manager, and then all of the city personnel fall underneath her. And so, but she reports to the council. And so, interestingly enough, as mayor, you actually lose a voting right. And so now as mayor, I don't get to vote on any of the topics that come up. However, I get to pick the topics that do come up. So I help create agendas. And then in the event that there's a tie, I get to be the tiebreaker or I can veto. But I cannot vote alongside the council on any topics that come up. But the reason I say that is so like my job as a mayor, you know, as I'm learning on day one, what am I supposed to do? They're like, hey, you need to go meet with Kiwanis and the Rotary and the Chamber and the Guard.
They want to FaceTime. They want to talk about some initiatives that they need.
Who is kid, the youngest mayor in Lindale history? They're like, you're a kid. Are you even old enough? I get to ask that all the time.
And because you shave your face.
I guess so. Yeah, I get the baby face, right? And I just had a birthday, so I promise I'm there. But yeah, it was a lot of who is this guy? And so I spent.
Well, and they probably needed to know about your agenda too, if it was going to be different and what initiatives you had going into your term. And, you know, maybe what motivations you had for doing what you're doing. So, you know, they were working with somebody for 9 years.
And now there's
What's going to change?
What's going to change?
And if there are some appropriations that are for them, is that going to happen? I'm not saying that, I'm just saying in general, if somebody's meeting with you.
It's change.
And they're
in general, right?
What's going to be different? I love it.
Hey, podcast listeners, are you in need of some top-notch libations to elevate your next gathering? Look no further than Hoot & Holler Liquor Store in Gun Barrel City, your go-to liquor store for quality drinks. From smooth bourbons to crisp wines and everything in between, Hoot & Holler has one of the largest and most diverse selections in East Texas. Planning a special occasion? Let our experts guide you to the perfect bottle. You'll receive excellent customer service not offered in the big box chains. Visit Hoot & Holler today and let the good times flow.
Vault Arms is your premier destination for all things firearms. Extensive selection of handguns, rifles, shotguns, and accessories. Knowledgeable staff to assist you in finding the perfect firearm to fit your needs. State-of-the-art gun range equipped with the latest technology for a safe and thrilling shooting experience. Take advantage of our professional shooting instruction and training programs suitable for all skill levels. Host your next group outing, corporate event, or bachelor party at our spacious and secure shooting facility. Committed to promoting responsible gun ownership and firearm safety. Fully licensed and compliant with all state and federal regulations.
When you're in East Texas, there's one name you have to know. Stanley's famous Pit Bar BQ in Tyler. Since 1960, Stanley's has been smoking up award-winning brisket, fall-off-the-bone ribs, and creative sandwiches like the legendary Mother Clucker. It's not just barbecue, it's an experience. Cold craft beer, over 90 whiskeys, and live music in a laid-back backyard vibe. Locals love it. Legends play here. and your taste buds will thank you. Come hungry, leave happy. Find them on Beckham Avenue or at stanleysfamous.com.
Yeah, so a lot of those, that was kind of what, the mayor for Lindale, again, I call myself a PR person. That's my job, is to be a cheerleader as best I can.
We're going to get into some stuff here in a minute.
It is about communication, right? I want to get out here and let people know what's going on, when they could come to the council meetings,
right?
And really how to be an advocate for this town.
Yeah.
And so the city manager, she handles all the day-to-day.
Right.
She and I talk, if not daily, every other day.
Yeah.
Same thing with the police chief. And, we've had some events, over the last, let's call it 12 months, right, where they keep me up to speed and just kind of let me know what's going on.
Yeah, if there's anything PR related, then, your representative, number one.
Yes, I'll go and I'll meet with any of the local news stations to kind of fill them in on what's going on.
Yeah. What you can.
On what I can. On what I can. We'll talk about that too,
Coming into 2024, what were some of your top priorities that kind of needed to be looked at? I'm not saying you need to take action on it, but they needed to be looked at.
Sure. One of the biggest things that I wanted to see change as I became mayor is communication.
Okay.
I wanted to, basically let people know as much as I could what was going on. And so part of that has been, I've got a thing on Facebook now, which Facebook is my own worst enemy as, an elected official for all of these politicians, right?
So I commented that Facebook was for like 50 and plus year olds.
Man, it is.
Because it really, like, you get on X.
Sure.
And you get on like TikTok, and that is rough space.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook is pretty benign.
It is.
There's a lot of comedians that come on and they like to tell their jokes and things like that. And they're keyboard warriors.
A lot of keyboard warriors.
Yeah, and it's all jabs. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's one of the reasons why I don't read a lot of the comments in the podcast and stuff like that. I'll post a lot, especially my private life.
Mm-hmm.
If we go on trips, I don't post any of that because self-glorification's just not my lane.
Yes.
But if you're trying to communicate things,
exactly,
right, you're trying to keep people aware of what's going on, you're going to get, what about this? Mm-hmm. Or, well, you forgot about that. Or my favorite recently, and just I'm not trying to be political, but Fox will announce something that happened, and then it's like, well, where's the Epstein list?
Yeah.
Okay, well, guess what? We just signed a peace treaty between these two countries, and you're talking about a list?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You're frustrated about that. I get it. It's completely unrelated.
Yeah.
So, I mean, am I in the same lane? I mean, we're right. You're posting something positive.
Absolutely. And when are we going to get our Costco? You're right. Hey,
we
opened a brand new part.
Where's the HEB?
Where's HEB? And I'm like, golly, can I not just get a win?
We all know Brookshire's has this contract with.
Yeah. So communication was a big part of what I wanted to drive home.
We don't need another coffee shop.
But yeah,
Or a laundromat. I love those. Like the Karens of the world.
Yes.
I don't know. What's the female version of a Karen? Is it Jack or?
Well, the female would be the Karen. And then I think the male is
Ken. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
I think you have a Ken and a Karen.
Got it.
And there's a whole nother conversation around that, right? We could get into why stuff is the way it is on the city side, and we'll talk about that shortly. But really, communication, a focus on the parks. I grew up playing in all the parks. I've got kids that obviously played sports in the parks. And at the rate at which Lindale was growing, right, our facilities needed to keep up.
Yeah.
And then really, as we got into looking at what was going on, the footprint of the city limits became a big conversation.
Oh, okay.
And we have a pretty odd footprint when it comes to the city limit.
Yep.
And so really letting people know what's going on from that aspect, why the city limits are the way they are. The top three things that I typically focus on is funding is number one, right? So everybody asks, like, hey, where does our money come from? What does our budget look like? Well, our funding comes from three main sources, the number one being property tax.
Property taxes.
Then sales tax, and then if you get a ticket or your building permits, right? And so a weird and or small city limit really limits the amount of money that we have coming into the city. And so that's where that whole financial steward piece comes in is, okay, I've only got this small coffer. How can we make Lindale feel like this? And so that was a lot of the communication piece, because once people realized, hey, our ISD, right, is 33,000 people. Our city limit is 8 on a good day. And of that, that's like 2,000 properties, right? So you've got 2,000 properties floating 33,000 people. It makes it hard to do a lot of these cool things that you see in these other towns. And so as I have these conversations and people hear that, they're like, oh man, I get it now. It kind of makes sense. And so doing these podcasts, having these conversations became one of my number one priorities as I rolled into mayor to let people know what was going on. So, right, we're not hiding anything. It's all tax dollars.
Right.
You can see the budget on any given council meeting.
Yeah.
It's all posted online. And so just letting them know, hey, here's what's going on.
Property tax is a sensitive topic.
It is.
And the thing is, like, every time DeSantis comes out and says what he says, and these other people talk about, you know, but the thing is like, if you look at the budgets, and we'll, you know, you have a meeting coming up in September 16th, where you talk about budget, you talk about, and it's pretty detailed. Like I read, it's pretty detailed about where the money goes, and obviously there's some legalities involved because there's payments of, you know, whether, you know, losses in litigation and things of that nature. There's more than just, hey, look, we spend it on police. We spend it, like, there's a lot of veins. There's a lot of veins to government.
Yes.
And you only have one or two arteries or three arteries that are coming in, but you have a lot of veins that you have to take care of in order to survive.
Oh yeah.
And then you have those veins, or at least what I read is that you, like, for example, like police department may have high mileage vehicles, right? So they need new vehicles, and they request one or two. I'm just giving examples.
Sure.
You know, things I read.
Yeah.
But I want to give listeners context.
Absolutely.
You know, on the so they, you know, and then of course roadways, lights, all the things that, you know, you have to make things function. We have a very busy thoroughfare that comes through Lindale.
Oh yes.
And there's parts of it that could maybe be safer. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that stuff, but, you know, I know that whenever I moved here 13 years ago, there weren't lights at certain intersections, and now there are.
Oh yeah.
And I know that they're safer.
Sure.
And there's a couple others that, you know, just, you never know.
Right.
So, but it costs money to do those things. And when you have three streams of revenue that you can pretty much predict what's coming in, then you're on fixed income to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Right. And so think of yourself as a retiree in some way.
Oh yeah.
That's on a fixed income that, now you have these expenses that come up that weren't budgeted, and how you rob Peter to pay Paul. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. No, you're speaking my language, right? So
I'm not trying to tee it up too easily or lob a pitch in. I'm just giving context from what I read.
Sure. Yeah. So our budget process spans over several months.
Okay.
So we start back in June with an initial draft, and then all the departments bring it forth to the, well, they first take it to the city manager, have conversations to create, we'll call draft two. Then that comes to council. We have conversations, and it just continues over the months and months and months until eventually it gets to a point where it's a balanced budget, and then the council will vote to approve that. As part of that process, you have the pieces like the taxes. So the state has this tiny little window that the tax rate can fall in. So they talk about a no new tax rate and a voter approved tax rate. And if you ever want to learn, it's this wormhole that we could go down, right? But You know, like for us, right, this year we were able to lower the tax rate. And so that's a win from a tax rate perspective. And
right.
So in Smith County, we have the second lowest tax rate behind Tyler, which is awesome for us, you know, considering all the growth that's going on. However, some people come to us and say, well, my taxes went up. Well, that's because the value of your property went up, right?
Right.
And so, you know, if we go, you know, easy math, say it was 10% and your property's worth $100 and you had to pay $10. Okay, that's great. If we lower it to 9, but now your property's worth 140.
Right.
Quick math, that's, I don't know, $14 that you've got to pay. And so they're like, well, what's, I'm like, nah, we're trying to do what we can, right? It's just, you know, more people come in, the value of your property goes up, so on and so forth. So yeah, taxes is a big part of driving what that budget looks like, both from a property standpoint and a sales tax standpoint. So we look at all those things year over year. How did we perform? So we run on a September calendar year. And so, you know, we'll look at all those year over year metrics, month to month metrics. When are taxes being paid? And then ultimately, how do we balance that compared to, you mentioned like the police vehicles, all these capital expenditures that we've got to do.
But I think it's important to understand that assessors are from the county. Mm-hmm. So they're not from city. They're not from the Lindale city.
Nope.
So the big argument publicly is, okay, you give me relief through homestead, and then the assessor comes in and just makes up the gap.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, look, you know, if you live in a nice neighborhood and people are selling, you know, well, yeah, I want my property to be worth X if I sell it, but I don't want it to be worth that much.
Taxes, I want to know a lot
in it for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, we all know that they freeze it. At what, 65? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you get frozen at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sensitive topic. And the thing is like, looking as, I'm not in government, city, whatever, congressional, none of it. Mm-hmm. How do you, it's almost impossible to fund it without it. Yes. In some way. I mean, that we can just be honest about that.
Sure.
Like, there's got to be something in place. Now,
yes.
If you switch to a consumption tax, people buy less. Mm-hmm. They're just going to. Mm-hmm. They're going to buy online. They can buy in Illinois, have it shipped here, whatever it may be. It makes things complicated.
It does.
So the whole... And I mean, I've gone through this in my mind many times. I'm talking to you. Like, I knew we were going to talk about it was going to come up. And it, looking at the statistics, it just doesn't make, there's nothing that makes sense without it.
Yes.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's the fairest way of looking at it. Reality is, yeah, I mean.
Unless you have an agricultural plot and you're going through that process of doing what you need to do in order to apply for those things. And there's access to that.
Yep.
So if that's a thorn, then that's the way you do that, or you go through other processes and procedures. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that
it's all good.
And I mean, I think that's a very heavy weight on your shoulder, because it's a lot of funding, but there's a lot to spend.
Yes.
In, you know, public acts, you know, public things that we need.
Right.
Infrastructure.
My common joke is I want to be able to flush a toilet, right? It's not a fun topic, but without this money,
right?
I mean, what's going to happen to all the utilities, all the water, right? There's, it is, you know, like you just said, it is necessary for us to be able to keep this ball rolling.
Yeah. Before we get into growth, let's talk about some public needs that we mentioned it before. We talked a little bit about it before we got started. I believe that one of the things that Tyler offers that we don't yet, and I think it's challenging because of the layout of kind of how Lindale works, is transportation. We don't, there's not really a public transportation mechanism. There is for people that may have like dialysis, but do you see that as something that needs to be addressed, or is it something, what would you say, like, other than parks? Because I think the parks are a big need. And I think I think our parks are great, honestly. I think they are way better than what they were 13 years ago. Yes. I mean, they're kept up, and the park over by Kinzie is beautiful. Didn't have that when my son was younger. We definitely would have went out there. For me, transportation is a big one, because in my line of business, you know, we see folks that need that.
Yeah.
But is there anything that you see that?
Yeah, transportation does come up. And you mentioned the thoroughfare that Lindell has, yes. Right? So because of the city limit, right? So we have, let's say, I-20 and Highway 69. All these highway roads are intermingled throughout the city. So those all come from state funds, so that's all TxDOT's.
Yeah, and A-49, not anything small either.
Exactly.
It was the loop.
And so, and
the Harvey.
Yep, and so once we get outside of those, right, then we go to these county roads, right? And so if there's a number, right, that generally speaking, that's gonna be a county road, so that's the county's maintenance. Mm-hmm. And Scott Herod, our new county commissioner that handles our precinct, told me that number of miles of roadway that are in just this northern Smith County, and it's a lot considering the area. And so, you know, we try to help them with that. But all that to say, the city streets, right? So we got some new sidewalks, and there's a whole conversation we could have about that. But that was...
You and I talked about
it. Yeah,
that was part of one of my businesses.
Yeah, it was part of a state grant that came in, right? So these safe ways to school, to connect all the schools with these sidewalks, that was funded by the state. And so there's a lot of, you know, hey, it used to be this way back in the day when we were growing up here, right, where sidewalks weren't really a big deal. So then now those start coming in. And I think a lot of the transportation conversations that we have is there is a need interlocal, like for Lindell, but not a big enough for someone that's going to bring in a business, unfortunately. However, transporting them to Tyler is a different conversation. And so it does come up. You know, it's kind of one of those things. One of the common questions I get asked is, how come this business is going here? And we have zero to do with it.
Right.
Right. From a city perspective, once it's zoned commercial, as long as that business comes in and meets the commercial needs, it can be whatever they want it to be.
Right.
And so same thing from a transportation perspective, right? If they want to come in and open a transportation to get people from A to B, we help them facilitate that by any means, because you mentioned Harvey Road and Centennial. There's a lot of new roadways coming in, and that's part of, you know, one of the things that we're focused on is the infrastructure, because we've got, I mean, the population has grown significantly. We were talking about early on.
That's what I got next now.
What it used to be. And so how do we be smart moving forward?
Yeah.
I'll pick on Tyler just a little bit. If you drive down Broadway during Christmas,
it's terrible. Or the loop,
right?
Yeah, south of Broadway is...
Yeah, south of Broadway is just... And I love all the people in Tyler. Thank you.
Yeah.
But the reality is that's a lot of congestion.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we have congestion. And I know if anybody's listening to this and they live in in Lindell, they're like, how old do you drive to the schools? And yes, I drive to the schools, but it's for like 30 minutes, right? We have that little window in the morning and the evening, and it is what it is. So we're trying to put all the infrastructure in place. That's why you see Centennial coming in, mm-hmm. Harvey Road getting expanded, expansion on 16. There's a lot of drainage work going in. So we're trying to put the pieces in place now so that, you know, 3, 5, 10 years from now, when all these other businesses come in, we're in good shape and not like, oh crap, now we're scrambling to put in a new road.
Yeah,
over our population of 20,000. Let's go ahead and put it in place now with a population of 8,000.
Right.
So that it's much more manageable.
Yeah, I think the other thing to keep in mind is that we pull from a lot of different areas.
We do. Yeah.
So like if you're between Lindell and Mineola, or you're in between
Lindell and Van, mm-hmm. or if you're like we are, I am in Garden Valley area.
Yeah.
I know we're in Lindell. Mm-hmm. And or if you're...
Hideaway. Great Hideaways. Yeah. Everyone from Hideaway... Right, Hideaway is its own city, but it doesn't have any of the amenities
it doesn't have school
store. Right. Doesn't have, you know, there's gas station just outside, but all the utilities and stuff that they would need, they come into Lindell. So that's an additional, whatever their population is, right, coming into town.
400 households or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Infrastructure has definitely been a big piece and a common topic as of lately, just because, you know, Lindale's a great town. We got great schools.
Right.
We got, I know it's Texas and it's hot weather, but we got great weather. We got great entertainment opportunities locally. And so people want to come here. And so we've got to be on the ball today so that we can accommodate tomorrow.
Yeah.
What kind of development do you anticipate over the next year, 2 years? Are you, are we gonna be growing as fast as we are currently? Or are we gonna run out of space?
Year? So it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? As we grow through these things. So there's a lot of state legislation right now that's taking what local municipalities can do away, and they're keeping it all. They're moving it all to Austin, state level, which stinks. But I mention that because of, you asked about growing. In order for us to grow, we've got to be annexing property. And so it was actually due to a case in Houston several years ago, but the state got involved and basically said, hey, cities can no longer go out and annex. The property owners have to come to you and say, hey, Gavin, I want to be annexed into City of Lindale. How do I make this happen? We've got to be able to provide you with city services, and you have to be adjacent to an existing property. And so because of that, we can only grow strategically. And so the reason I mention that is, in order for us to continue to grow at the rate that we want, one, we've got to annex more property and make our city limits.
Is there a benefit to annexing?
Services.
City services.
Okay. Yeah. City services would be to water anything. Yeah, water and sewer. And then all of the, you know, police.
Right.
But, you know, that's the main benefit of it. And then, you know, you mentioned the new development that then comes in, right? So with Centennial, and Centennial is the road between Walmart and Lowe's.
Yeah.
That's going to go out and be another probably big thoroughfare to also take some of that congestion off of Highway 69. There's some developments going in there. You know, everybody asks me, so what's it going to be?
Right.
And I can't share much.
It ain't going to be a HEB
or Costco, right?
Can't, you know, it's kind of what I joke is like, man, it's like a surprise party, right?
Yeah.
You sort of kind of know what's going on, but then somebody comes up and you happen to tell your buddy and you're just like,
it's going to be another Whataburger, isn't it?
You just ruined my surprise, right? And so, you know, some of the developments that are on the horizon right now, we've got a few things going on.
Right.
Another bank and a tire shop.
I know one in
Texas
for sure.
Coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, and because I mentioned bank, I will mention, you know, people's like, oh, another bank, really? A bank is a sign of a healthy community, right? That means that there's money there,
right?
And people that want to borrow money. So both of those things are going on in Lindale. And if it wasn't, banks wouldn't, if we weren't a growing, thriving community, banks would.
I know the owner of Freddy's is looking.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I take some Freddy fries.
Yeah, for sure.
Right now with some fry sauce.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Texan is one of those.
That's on Harvey Road.
Right. It is on Harvey, which is on I-20 right across from Target Distribution.
It's going to be interesting.
It's a 70-acre development, and they're kind of one of the cornerstones.
Yeah.
And so as part of that, and as Harvey Road gets built out, you'll see some other things come in there.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's definitely a cell phone store.
Probably
a shop.
You know, vape shop. I mean, we could have a whole other conversation about vape shops, right?
Yeah,
we do have a number of vape shops.
Yeah.
And the state had pretty loose guidelines on what could be done with a vape shop.
Yeah.
And so if you know, one of our city council meetings was like, hey, we need to get more stringent on this because there's one by the school, one by church, one by daycare.
Right.
So let's, you know, impose some stricter guidelines so that we can get this out of our downtown, essentially.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now we've done some things to, the vape shops that are here are grandfathered in, but we've also put some other measures in place to ensure that we grow into how we want.
External marketing.
Yeah.
Get rid of the CBD type marketing side of things. And because you don't know.
Right.
Like what, and they could, I mean, the pushback was pretty hard. And to have the governor step in and just kill everything was pretty dramatic.
Yes.
But you know, there's a lot of people that work in that, a lot of business. There's a lot of business owners that are in that. And then, you know, looking at I'm not going to go down the path, but, you know, there's, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how's it different than maybe other establishments? what's the liability of what they're doing?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a bigger thing. But from your standpoint, it's more about optics. And
yeah.
Just understanding, hey, look, I'd rather take intermediate steps now instead of knee-jerk steps.
Yes.
I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, let's just, exactly. I don't want to, reaction. I want, hey, let's plan for this accordingly so that when the time does come, we've got pieces in place to do it the right way.
Yeah. What do you think people need to know about Lindell? Because I think that when people ask me that, they're like, Lindell? Oh, Miranda Lambert.
Yeah.
That's the first thing they say.
Yeah.
And that's great. I mean, she's a great person, has done a lot for the city.
Sure.
Her parents are great people. Mm-hmm. They own an adoption, like a dog, I think.
Yeah, Mutt Nation, yeah.
Yeah, so like, props to them. Mm-hmm. They've done an amazing job.
Yeah.
I think we have another, she was from Mineola. But nonetheless, I mean, that's what I hear is mostly Miranda Lambert, or I hear about Pink Pistol,
yep.
Or I want to go there, take my venture there, all that kind of stuff. But I think Lindell is a little bit more than that, or at least it has been to us.
Yeah, no, it is. We've got the Pink Pistol and the Ponderosa Poorhouse at the Lamberts have, helped happen in the cannery, right? That was a major downfall.
I mean, that whole development there is amazing.
It is, right?
So yeah,
Los Ocios, the legit restaurants.
Yes.
I mean,
you got like, the taco place,
right, bro? BMX.
Yes.
I mean, Asian food. And then you got TXM across the way.
Not only that, but TXM, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the painting place that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but
Board and Brush, I think.
Yeah, Board and Brush. Yeah. Yes. Like a lot of people don't recognize that as somewhere that they could go and have a nice night out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's that whole place. And then you got TJC.
TJC North is there, and we just opened a new building for them. So you've got these, man, TJC, and I'm going to brag on our education system for just a minute, because Lindell ISD and all of these regional higher level institutions are phenomenal. Like if you go to high school, you can get on the TJC promise and walk out of high school into TJC.
Yeah.
And like my oldest daughter, she's going to basically have an associate's as she leaves high school.
Yes.
And start transitioning on this bachelor's degree out of the gate. And
right.
So they have realized, they being all these education entities, the value of a quality education in our kids. And they have put their money where their mouth is. And it's awesome to see.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got TJC at the cannery, and it's got a stage there. So yeah, we've got entertainment. We're working on some new entertainment venues. So I will say that's one of the things coming next year.
Very cool.
Working on a few projects. And then you mentioned the parks earlier, but we do, the cannery and Pickers Pavilion serve as a great vehicle for things and events coming in, right?
Yeah.
So October's kind of around the corner. We've got, Country Fest, which is maybe like 8,000 people just coming into Lindell to hang out for a big community block party. I used to say you could come run with me in the 5K, but I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
I will cheer you on, but
and with the 8,000, like all the hotels are
much
full.
Hotels are full.
The RVOs are full.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the restaurants are full.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a car show. It's a great. It is. It's a big thing to bring all these people in, and then the next weekend, you have the Piney Woods Wine Festival.
Yes.
Which we have one in May and one in October, but all of these regional wineries come in and set up shop, and you kind of walk and drink and shop.
A dollar for
a little glass. And I mean, decent service.
Yeah.
So be careful.
Yeah.
But it's that's going on. And then we've got, there's all kinds of just great things to do in this town.
Yeah.
We have, interestingly enough, a couple from Canada whose last name is Lindell.
Okay.
And so they come down pretty regularly because they've kind of adopted us as their favorite Lindell in the country.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of this ad hoc spokesperson for us, and they love it, right? I mean, they share our good news wherever they can go.
Right.
And so, yeah, we've got, the events downtown, our parks. You mentioned Darden Park, where we've got a little splash pad over there. That was a vision that came to be. And Pool Park, Faulkner Park, we've got some... got some exciting things on the horizon for Faulkner Park.
Okay.
Yeah, that is there's some exciting things around the corner. Let's just say that, you know, we're working on some good projects with some community partners. Parrot Park, which is they call it Whistling Bob, I think. The air horn that goes off at 8 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock at night over there by Lowe's. And you can hear from just about anywhere
where we are,
what kind of wind you got.
Yeah.
But it is a step back in history. You know, there's a smith in there that does ironworks, and you can get a glimpse of all the local stuff that we have, like the candy shop.
Yeah.
All the goodies that they offer. There's some Prohibition pickles and a lot of little things that make Lindale unique. You can pick up the little gift shop there. So, yeah, there. I would say it's, you know, used to, you'd come through and you'd be like, hey, I'm going to stop at Derek when you get a blizzard. But there's definitely some things to do in Lindale and keep you around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's one thing that you're most proud of? Kind of hard to sift through that, but
it is, man. It makes me feel good when people tell me I'm doing a good job, and two, that they know who I am, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that sounds, I'm trying to sound big headed, but that means that the communication is going out, right? It's a fruit of that communication that I'm starting to see the reciprocation from. And that makes me excited to know that people know what's going on,
right?
That they are paying attention. Probably one of the most rewarding things thus far is back in June, we did a summer kickoff at one of the parks. And part of this kickoff, I wanted to make an event. And so we basically had hit a home run off the mayor. So we set up a wiffle ball park.
Okay.
I threw pitches for three and a half hours to all kinds of kids from the community came up, and then we showed the Sandlot. We do movies in the park every fall. So we did one for this summer kickoff. So we had popcorn and snow cones, and it was just really a good community event. And everybody was like, man, that was great. One, I can't believe that the mayor's out here throwing pitches. Right. But two, we had a lot of people come together to make that happen. That was probably one of the most proud moments I've had thus far.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. All right, so you've got a big meeting coming up on the 16th.
We do.
Public meeting,
mm-hmm.
right, where you're presenting your budget. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of broken down into, you know, where we need to spend the money, mm-hmm. where it's coming from, all that good stuff. Everything's available on the website.
It is.
Lindell.org?
LindellTX.org.
TX.org. So, I mean, and I think I opened like probably 15 documents at one time, and I was reading. I mean, it's a lot to read, but
it'll be a healthy meeting, yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean, and you know, everybody's giving their time. If somebody wants to make a comment or something like that, they fill out a card, right?
Yeah, so you mentioned earlier the first and third Tuesday mm-hmm. of every month is when council's held at 6 o'clock at City Hall. And the agenda, the state just changed it again, has got to be posted way in advance. So you can see the agenda at least a week in advance now. And then in the event that you want to come and talk about something, we have this thing called Citizen Talk Time. You fill out some information. And then at the end, you have 5 minutes to kind of tell us what you want.
Okay.
The piece that kind of hangs people up is, because it's not an agenda item, we can't converse with you.
I got you.
So it's really just
them talking.
Talking, one bringing an item aware to us, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. Hey, there's a tree down, or we have this problem with goats escaping.
Yeah.
Can the city step in and do something about it? You know, that's a really random example, but somebody.
Or, hey, I'm on CR or something, another huge pothole.
Yes.
You know, it's damaging vehicles. Mm-hmm. Can you take a look at it?
Yeah, because we, during those council meetings, right, the city manager's there, we have the police chief.
You're not driving down that road every day, right?
You know, all the departments are present, so if you do want your voice to be heard, that's a good avenue. And since you said CR, I'd be like, hey, that's a county road. It just so happens.
Yeah.
That Smith County is responsible.
So,
yeah.
I'll defer to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's a conversation that I have quite a bit. They're like, hey, dude, my road needs to be mowed, or the right-of-ways need to be mowed. And so one of the first questions we ask is, hey, what's your address?
Yeah.
Well, it's 123 County Road, whatever. And I'm like, so County Road, this is the channels that you need to go through to make that happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, first and third, the 16th is going to be a big one where we're approving the budget and the tax rate. Like I said, we lowered the tax rate and we're still able to do all the stuff that we want to see happen. So
yeah.
We feel good about it. You know, property taxes are what they are, but
right.
we tried to do what we could from a city standpoint to,
right,
you know, make that.
You're doing your part by moving the percentage because of the growth, mm-hmm, and that's admirable to do. Mm-hmm. The revenue is going to be what it is by the assessment.
Yes.
And the assessment is based off of, you know, current sales and growth. Mm-hmm. It just is what it is, right?
It is.
There's nothing that Smith County, blame them.
But yeah.
No, I'm not. But yes. I have had a conversation and I have done some, I mean, if you have an assessment that you don't agree with, they still let you.
Yeah, you can go and contest it. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Every year. Mm-hmm. So you can do that. There are avenues. Mm-hmm. All right. So what if somebody, not me, but if somebody listening to this is getting nudged, or no, they're at a campfire,
yeah,
a couple beers.
Yes.
And they are like, hey, I think, you know, there's some things that I want to do.
Sure.
To bring forward to, and you know, or maybe they're not at a campfire. Maybe they're having a girls' night or something like that, you know, and they're having a conversation about, you know, representing, mm-hmm, in city council. What are the steps?
Yeah, so city council, we'll start with that one, right? You've got to live inside city limits.
Okay.
And so a lot of people that I have the conversation with are like, oh, wait, I don't live inside the city.
Right.
So that's an immediate like, eh.
Sorry.
Yeah, so.
Buy a house.
Yeah, buy a house inside the city, right? We'll take those property taxes.
Yeah.
So they could, you know, if you live in the city, you can start. I would encourage you to come to some of the council meetings, just see how it goes, see how it's ran. And then all the terms are staggered. And so at any given year, someone's rolling off, yeah, someone had the opportunity to roll in.
Yeah.
And it's a 3-year term. I would say it's a pretty low key, right? As long as you can have some constructive conversations around what needs to happen on the first and third Tuesday of each month with a couple, three other meetings in between, right? That's kind of the commitment from a council level. If you're like, council's maybe a little bit more than I want to bite off right now, there's a variety of boards that you can get involved in, right?
Okay.
Parks Board, Planning and Zoning, Board of Adjustments. There.
So if you have a passion around certain,
right,
like, you know, group or, you know,
or
initiative.
If you're just curious, yeah, you could, you know, come in. All those terms are staggered too, right? They don't all have 3 years. Some of them are 2 years. And so, yeah, get involved on one of those boards or just show up and ask some questions at one of the meetings. Again, they're all public meetings, so all the agendas are posted.
Yeah.
The times of those meetings are a little bit differently, right? So just because you'd be in meetings all the time if you serve on all the boards, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, but those other boards are certainly opportunities on how to get involved without really, you know, jumping all the way into the pool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I encourage everyone to just come to a council meeting, see how it goes. We have again, it's a very constructive conversation with topics. It might be a short agenda or the big one on the 16th, but you'll get a better understanding of what's going on in town. And usually a lot of the other, and I'm gonna call them agencies or partners, are present. So this last one, we had the Baseball Association, the library was there, the chamber was there. We approved a handful of events for the park. And so you had a lot of, representation from other community partners that came to a council meeting. So you walked out of there and you're like, oh man, there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. All right, man. I like to end all my podcast with you guys or guys, doing some shout out.
Sure.
And so we talked a little bit about it. I prepped you.
Yeah.
But you know, entrepreneurs, nonprofits, in this case, somebody serving, mm-hmm, unpaid servant,
yeah,
of the area.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are super passionate about what you do. There's a lot of people that are surround you, mm-hmm, in your success. And, I just love hearing about somebody that's a mentor or family. I mean, most folks are, you know, lean towards the family because, mm-hmm, you're there every day,
sure,
you know, and things of that nature. But, you know, talk to us a little bit about some folks that are,
yeah,
deserve it.
Yeah, no, I mean, you mentioned family. So, I mean, 100% my wife,
yeah,
Stacy, has been phenomenal throughout all this stuff, right? All of her kids, she's a teacher at the high school. Yeah. And they're like, oh, it's the First Lady of Lindale,
right?
Right? So she takes it like a champ. But she has been phenomenal over the years through this entire process. And my girls have been great with it too. So I certainly would not be in this position without them. And I would say anybody listening, right, to have a group, like I have a Tuesday lunch group, right? And we go and we just talk about what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I've got a group of guys that they just so happen to be all my golf buddies.
Yeah.
And they're a great sounding board for whatever. One, they're devoid of the local politics.
Right.
Right. So they, none of them live in Lindale. So I can go to them and say, hey, you know, here's, this is what I got going on. And then we just have conversations around, right? So whether it's lunch or coffee or whatever, that group of guys has been, man, they've been solid over the years.
Yeah.
And they're a phenomenal group to talk to. And then one of my best friends locally, Zane Brown with Craig's Dirt Service, kind of same thing, right? He's outside the city. He's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about just business and how that translates into city government. Mm-hmm. Right. And he's got some conversations and or some really some perspectives
yeah.
that I don't have when I'm coming at it from, you know, my, I say IT, but my technical background. Sure. And he's like, hey, well, what about this? Right. So these alternate or these outside perspectives have been phenomenal. And then probably the person that helped drive a lot of this decision, the Lujans, which they were the owners of Mentoring Minds, mm-hmm. They really drove me to get involved on the boards. But most of those boards, I serve with a gentleman named Walter Wilhelmy mm-hmm. at Prothrone Wilhelmy, their CPA firm in Tyler. And he has been an advocate for me since day one. Whether it's the board, whether it's council, whether it's mayor, he has just been a solid rock that I could go to. And so, Walter, if you're listening to this thing, thank you, man. Yeah. You have been awesome throughout the entire journey. And I hope it's many years to come. But yeah, he's been phenomenal in helping me get to where I'm at today.
Yeah. I'd ask what was next, but I mean, you got a long runway. You got a long runway here.
I do.
You're a young guy.
I am, yeah. So I just... We talked about 3-year term, but just finished my first year, so I got another 2 years.
Is there so 2 years, and then you can...
Then we can see where it goes.
Right. Yeah.
Do it
again.
Yeah, we'll see, right? You say it's a long runway, sir.
I mean, HEB by the way. Who knows?
It's been great, man. I really appreciate you spending some time.
Yeah.
Kind of helping us understand just what you do day in and day out. And Lindale's a great place to live. We have a great ISD. I looked it up and it's like it ranked in like the 200s, which I didn't agree with. Like, mm-hmm. I think we're in the top 50 mm-hmm. personally. I mean, my boy went through high school and it was a great experience mm-hmm. for us as a parents and for him, mm-hmm. like strict, but firm mm-hmm. and taught him a lot of good things. And mm-hmm. He applies them every day, went to the Navy, awesome. Had some success there. Yeah, it was awesome, yeah. But I appreciate the time. Really, I do.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. It's been an honor.
Yeah,
thanks so much.
Really. All right, we'll see you next time. Catch you again.